Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished young professional from the world of finance, from the United Kingdom, Miria Anthony. Miria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. Miria is an advisor at the Cambridge Advisors to Family Enterprise. She's a regular speaker on family business topics, philanthropy, and social impact. And she's lived in the UK for many, many years. So Miria, before we start about family business, tell me a little bit about your own journey.
Of course. So my journey has actually taken a number of different turns for the better. Mm-hmm. I was born in India, but I've lived, I've worked, and I've been educated across multiple continents. Mm-hmm. India, New Zealand, Singapore, the UK, the US, and Dubai. I did my undergrad and my master's in London at the LSC. Also did an MBA exchange with Cornell. So I got a feeling of the US and that mm-hmm. the wonderful network that the MBA brings in the US. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back to the UK to start my career. I started in banking, actually. Mm-hmm. So I started between my undergrad and my postgrad. I ended up working in India. It was 2009. And India was growing at that point. So I came back and I worked in insurance for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I worked in Aviva and in Citi after that. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back to the UK and I started off in strategy consulting, really got a feel for strategy and analytics. Mm-hmm. And I worked with some very interesting data scientists, and a boutique consulting firm, which really propelled me to understand why decision makers think the way they do and why we work the way we do. Mm. And then from there, I went to Deloitte and mm-hmm. I joined the family and private capital team where I found what I really loved. Mm-hmm. I found something that was of great interest to me. And so I worked there. And then I took a little bit of another turn where I worked in investor relations. So for the last couple of years, I worked in a philanthropic foundation mm-hmm. where I worked with institutional investors and private investors. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. But I loved that as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm now finally come back to my roots, which is the family and private capital consulting market.
How wonderful. What an amazing journey you've had. So let's talk a little bit about family business. And, you know, you said it's your first love. You spent several years in this business. You also worked a lot on strategy. So tell me about the work you do on strategies for growing and passing family business enterprise to the next generation and the successful continuity of their enterprises.
Yeah, of course. Family businesses are really interesting. They've changed the landscape has changed, the complexity has changed. A lot of my work has focused on multi-generational families. So mm-hmm. these are very large families mm-hmm. Across different generations. I've also worked across family offices, mm-hmm. Ultra high net worth individuals, entrepreneurs who are really focused on achieving family ownership and business mm-hmm. goals. Mm. Some of that is around governance. It's around family governance. It's around business governance. Mm. There's also a huge piece around family dynamics and conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. How do we maintain that within these very large and successful families? Mm. Succession planning, wealth strategies, which is becoming evolvingly important in today's day and age, especially mm. with the next generation. Mm. I've also worked a lot on leadership and development, helping really propel the next generation of family members, you know, to find their place, mm. whether it's in the enterprise or outside the enterprise. Mm. A lot of my work has focused on family office strategy, and that is a really important piece now particularly with the focus on sustainability, ESG, and social impact. And I've done a lot of career coaching and philanthropy as well. In a very brief nutshell, I would summarize my work as helping families really diagnose what is their family enterprise health, what is their family and business health, using a combination of both qualitative and quantitative tools, and helping them really create what is their strategic priorities. How do we as a team help them to build a roadmap and collaborate to help them build on their strengths and really propel them to their what they want to do next?
Oh, wonderful. And for my viewers and listeners, I know these are very highly confidential documents and matters that you reserve, but without any names, without any kind of even indications, can you give me an example of how family dynamics works and how you step in?
Yes, and I wouldn't. My work is the one thing. I in all my firms that I've prioritized is confidentiality.
Absolutely.
So I will not, break that. But some of I have worked for some of the largest over the last 15 years. Worked with the largest family enterprises in the world, who are very private. And there's a lot of different, dynamics at play. I think when you're in a family enterprise, you are surrounded by this amazing entity, but also you have your individual perspectives and priorities, and, wants and needs and perspectives. And sometimes that's really, working individually with family members to understand what are their challenges, what are their perspectives, and then helping families come to a common understanding, bringing them on the table. And some of this is often around, we all, being a large family enterprise or not, we all have similar challenges, It's around sibling rivalry, or it's around own, control. It's around dad having control and not wanting to give that up. It's around really the next generation wanting to make a difference and wanting to go in the steps of their brilliant and entrepreneurial first generation. And there's a lot at play, and this is not just I see it in day-to-day in other circumstances as well, where you're often in the shadow of a very successful individual or a very successful cohort, or and there's different dynamics in play in how you manage that and how you want to showcase that, from one generation, and also from the older generation, is my son and daughter, do they have the skills to take this over?
Correct.
Sometimes, you work with the most brilliant founders and who have created these amazing models. And, sometimes the next generation doesn't have that. You just don't, right? There's different genes. Sometimes, even if they do, they want to do something completely different.
Well said.
So a lot of it is around, coming to a common understanding. At the end of the day, I'd say it's very simply around family. It's around what do we want to accomplish together, but also what is our individual strengths and weaknesses. And everyone has it's very different, and it's very complex when you have so many dynamics at play.
Well said. And From a very generalist perspective, why is it important to find efficient ways to transfer wealth from one generation to another?
Yes, that is so important, especially now, because we are living in a very volatile, I just wrote a chapter in a book on the word, volatile, complex, ambiguous, and turbulent world. And right now, it's really important. In order to maintain, the first and foremost is family unity. So what happens with generational transfers, if it's not managed in an appropriate way, the wealth gets eroded over time. And that's, in terms of also keeping families together. I think in, you know, family unity in terms of the costs. You know, it often what happens with very successful families, there's a huge cost involved if it's not maintained and talked about. And, you know, if a common understanding isn't there, there's a huge cost involved with it. So the generational transfer is very important in terms of minimizing those costs, keeping the family together, but also in terms of how do they want to evolve, right? We just released a research paper on how the 2020s are supposed to be the most turbulent decade. And actually, over the years, my work has seen a huge evolution in the way families and family enterprises have evolved, right? In terms of innovation, in terms of technology, in terms of digitalization, in terms of navigating change and changing business models, especially. And so if that's not efficiently evolved across the generations, if a common understanding isn't made, it's often very turbulent, both for the family and for the business. And there's a lot of, you know, it fractures both family and business structures and dynamics.
Thank you. What a great response. And Maria, based on all your experience and having worked with such large and families, at what stage should a family start to think of planning succession?
This is a very good question, because typically my work, you know, families would come to us when there was an event. So it could be a liquidity event, it could be a divorce, it could be, you know, a death in the family, it could be something that's triggered it, sibling, you know, rivalry, conflict. But the pandemic and the last couple of years with, you know, crises, with the politics, with the world changing, with the war, you know, and with sustainability being at the forefront of, you know, of families and individuals, families are now thinking through it, you know, in a more deliberate way. Families are planning for it in a more deliberate way. The best time is when things are good. So the best time to do this, to come to a common understanding, is when you're not in a rush, when you have the chance to come together and articulate what is our vision, what is our purpose, what is our values, and how do we make our decisions more effectively. So I would say that this work is best done. And actually, it's about dialogue, right? It's about communication. And I think the earlier you put that in place, the better for families, so that there's no misunderstanding or things don't fracture as time moves on. And, you know, not only the family, but they're able to achieve transformational growth in whatever they're doing, be it in the business, be it outside the business. So typically, you know, I would say I've often asked this question, and it is often said, it's the best time to do something is when you don't have to do it, when everything is going very well. And so I would say that's the best time.
Wonderful. The best time to plan succession is when the going is good. Great words, Maria. And my next question is on conflict. More often than not, I have seen conflicts in families when it comes to succession. It could be between peers, you know, between brothers. It could be between generations. I've heard many older generation people say, I'm the one who earned all the money and these people are going and spending it all. And the younger one says, well, I'm going to get in any case. And the older person doesn't know the new age businesses. What are your thoughts on how conflicts can get resolved?
Yes, very good question. And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I probably haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot. You know, I've seen brothers fight it out. I've seen the next generation. I've seen a lot of it. I think the way to make, and honestly, at the end of the day, sometimes it comes from a place of vulnerability. It comes from a place of, you know, especially with families, there's so much at stake. in terms of expressing one's views and opinions. And the way to manage conflict is really dialogue. It's really getting, and this is easier said, and particularly from an outsider, it's easier said than done, but it's helping individuals, particularly with, you know, siblings or cousins or a father and daughter, father and son, parental relationships. It's understanding individual perspectives, and it's coming to a compromise. It's helping, you know, helping individual members articulate their needs, their wants, their aspirations. And that's often done in a range of ways. Conflict is one of the most interesting things I find. And sometimes, you know, I've actually brought in different experts. Sometimes I've brought in a psychologist or a behavioral therapist, or, I've done assessments. I find the way to do it is to step back and really articulate in a very, you know, non-confrontational way, what is the challenge that different, because it's often similar. It's often very similar, but there are huge feelings and emotions to it. And it's helping, you know, individuals really have that conversation, which often isn't possible when there isn't a neutral part. So sometimes it's easier to bring in other people, you know, neutral advisors, or to show. It's often interesting. I did this with one of the families I'd worked with, especially the next generation. I did this assessment and showing how they are structured on a scale. So how do they make decisions? And you'll see one is analytical and one is more creative. You know, one is extroverted, one is introverted, and it's just different ways. People are wired in different ways. I read a lot on behavioral psychology. It's a side passion of mine. And it's understanding the psychology and understanding how human beings are wired, how we think, how we want to come across in the world. And a lot of that is what is at play. So it's personality, it's character, it's dynamics, but it's also, you know, emotions that come. And it's helping individuals, you know, articulate that and understand that, which is really hard when, you know, you're trying to do that with siblings. And, you know, personally for me, when I try and communicate, when my brother and I are doing something completely different, you know, it is hard. It is hard work. It's a lot of hard work.
Wonderful.
One of the most interesting parts of my work is that.
Fabulous. The other aspect of family business is culture. You know, if you look at India, culturally, the younger people may listen a little more to the older people. Culturally, in some parts of the West, they may demand their share of the family wealth maybe earlier. My question to you, Miria, is how does culture impact family business?
Very good question. And culture is a huge part of it. Having lived and worked across different worlds and also seeing the different cultural dynamics in businesses, in the West, in the East, it is very different. In markets in Asia, particularly, you know, in India, in China, and Hong Kong, there's a lot around the way the next generation, speaks as well to previous generation. There's a lot of dynamics in terms of control, in terms of being respectful, in terms of how even conversations are had. Whereas, you know, in different markets, the US, the UK, Europe, it's very different. You know, it's actually an even playing field. I would say I find it really fascinating because I find sometimes having equality and equity in these parts of the world, I think sometimes, you know, that's great because there are equal voices around the table. That being said, you know, there's also a great way of, and you know, some of the largest families have thrived in Asia, in the other regions of the world, because of the respect, and because of that, you know, the way that they have been brought up and the way that business is done. And so I'd say culture is really interesting. It's something that also really interests me, you know, from a business perspective and how businesses, old family businesses, are run in different parts of the world. I find, especially now as the world changes, and the next there's a huge transition, right, in terms of succession. The next generation roles are changing, particularly with gender, particularly, you know, not in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
There's a whole cohort of women. There's a whole cohort of investors. There's a whole cohort, the next generation, using different sets of values, you know, and different ways of wanting to take charge and lead businesses and lead new ventures. And it's more disruptive. It's definitely more innovative. It's also using emerging technologies to do business in a different way. And so culture is very interesting, and the different dynamics at play in different markets is very, very interesting. I find all the different markets that I've worked across, in some ways, that there is specific nuances that really have an impact on the family and the business.
Fabulous. So, Viren, I'm going to change gears a little bit and move to what you just told me about the chapter in your book. And I have a lot of respect for authors. So tell me a little bit about the chapter that you wrote in the book. Start by telling me the name of the title of the book.
It is actually, it's the, so it's business. So I wrote a book for an author. It's a German book, actually, translated in English. And this is the first one. I'm actually, stay tuned for this. There's a lot more I'm going to write on family business and family philanthropy and ESG. But this is perspectives from the corporate world and the nonprofit world on how the world is changing and how we are adapting to you know, the complexity and the uncertainty of the world. And it's really understanding, you know, how investors, both institutional as well as private, so particularly families and family enterprises and private individuals, are viewing social impact. And in fact, part of my work in family businesses, and this has come out a lot, is looking at social impact and change. And how, because as we enter a world of environmental degradation and technological disruption and turbulence, we all have to change. And so my other passion is really looking at how do we change and adapt and do good in the world in terms of social impact, and bring the resources that we have to change and make an impact on the planet, and what we can do better.
Wonderful. And Miriam, a last question to you, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. As a young, successful professional, a young, successful leader in the UK, what would you say are three lessons that you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey so far and from our conversation?
There are three. I want to say success. I still strive for success on a daily basis. So I know a lot of people consider I don't consider myself as successful today, because I one of the things I really work on every day is how is every day going to be better? How do I make every day better? And so curiosity and learning. I spend a lot of my time asking questions, being really curious and learning. Learning, I'd say the second is to really take risks. To you know, there's a huge amount of amazing disruption that's happening in the technology space, in the social impact space, and it's really finding how do you want to change your business or model or vision for the future, and work towards that using these different tools at our means. And the third one that I do is I do two things on a daily basis. I work really hard and I work out really hard. And I think physical, intellectual, physical, emotional health, all three go hand in hand. And those are three things that I really focus on.
Wonderful. And on that note, Miria, and your three amazing lessons, which are always be curious and keep learning all the time, take risks and work hard and work out hard. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me at such great length with such deep understanding of family business. Thank you also for speaking to me about, you know, some of the amazing experiences you've had with family businesses across so many different continents. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I love your series. You know, I follow them every time they're released. And I think your videos bring something very different in terms of view in the interviews that you conduct. So thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure and privilege to be here with you.
Thank you, Miria.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.